This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays. With a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist, it's Natterdays.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Come on, Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Like there was ever any doubt, Tom.
Well, they left no doubt yesterday by about the third inning. There wasn't a lot of doubt. And this was a game where I'm still surprised at this whole series being blowouts. All three games.
Weird.
The game was not in question by the eighth, ninth inning, and seventh, eighth, ninth. I mean, just none of these games were close. And for two teams to be so even all year, to play three games that weren't even, is just kind of amazing. But as I felt going in, and as, you know, just Blind Hog found an acorn in my prediction, Ole Miss couldn't be nine innings better over a three-game stretch. And Arkansas had the better of the Ole Miss Rebels yesterday, and it felt pretty sweet if you were in the stadium.
That's right. And in fact, if you have, I remember our post game that we were doing yesterday at the stadium shop, that I was like, oh, I'm going to give me a hot take. Yeah, I would say 9-3 Arkansas. Yeah, I was way off.
I thought this game, and I was wrong about how yesterday's game would play out. I thought, okay, they've played 11-2 and 13-5. They're going to get back to norm here for all the marbles. This is going to be maybe a little higher scoring than what they played during the regular season, but at least within a couple, three runs. Wrong.
Nope.
wrong. And, you know, baseball will humble a lot of predictors in this sport.
14-1 off of 12 hits. And honestly, I mean, there are so many things to take away, not only from this game, but from this series. But, you know, what was the thing that we were most concerned about? What was our topic? What
pitching,
was it all?
Starting came, pitching.
Starting pitching.
And it was a problem.
Which it was. Patrick Wicklander comes in, gets one in a third inning. He gives up a run, gives up two hits, walks guys. I mean, it just seemed like he was all over the place. The first three pitches, Tommy, were in the dirt.
Yeah,
it was just, you could tell from the get-go, Wicklander wasn't going to have it. And what a gutsy move by Dave Van Horn in the second inning to take him out and, all right, get in Scroggins, bring him in. With two on and two out, guys at second and third, bring in Scroggins. Scroggins comes in, shuts him down the rest of the way.
I don't argue with you over the adjectives. I don't know if gutsy's the right call. I thought it was just the only move, right? I mean, you can't, knowing what you have available, you cannot let this get away from you. Now, the thing you're holding your breath on is Scroggins got to come in and give you at least four or five innings, you know, because you can't go to Kostyshyk, you know, in the third, and then let him hold it till Cronin. You know, Cronin's not a guy. Cronin's going to give you, what, a couple innings?
Mm-hmm.
Six, seven batters, something like, you know, the fire-breathing dragon can't face that many. So, I mean, Scroggins was the guy that saved the day. He saved their bacon.
Yep. Literally.
Literally.
I mean,
saved their bacon.
I mean, if it wasn't for him, I mean, who knows what this game would have. Because, listen, I know that Arkansas won 14-1, and their offense really got it going, and he had great outings from Heston Kerstad, which had a terrible outing on Sunday, but he comes and bounces back, has three of four, just hits a mammoth shot out to the right field. I mean, that thing was hammered.
Knocked someone's beer over at Fall Grove.
I mean, that's how far he hit it. I mean, he was crushed. So you got great play from him. You got great play from Opitz, who also had a home run as well. You had a frozen rope hose job over there from Dominic Fletcher in the outfield. I mean, you just had play after play after play being made.
The difference was Sunday, none of the 50-50 plays, nothing really went your way on Sunday. If a ball could have been fair or foul, it was foul on Sunday.
Mm.
All the borderline pitches were either ball four, if you were at the plate, they were strike three. Nothing went Arkansas's way on Sunday. Yesterday, there were two instances where a foul ball or a ball hit right down the line, one down the third baseline, and then another one hit right down, and that the umpire had to ole to get out of the way. Both ended up as fair balls and extra base hits and run scoring situations for the Hogs. That's baseball. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Someday it's like golf or anything else. Someday it's just not going your way. Someday it's just not your day. Sunday, game two was just not the Hogs' day. All the breaks just didn't fall their way. It's just life, just sports. Yesterday, everything went the Hogs' way as far as the bounce of the ball. And, you know, I thought those two shots down the line were just indicative of the kind of day Arkansas had, where 10 inches more one way or the other, you know, on the first baseline, 10 inches to the left, that ball is a foul ball. 10 inches to the right on the second shot, that ball is a foul ball.
Mm-hmm.
They both end up fair and scoring multiple runs, and it's the little things like that that make all the difference in the world. I thought there were several plays that, you know, could have went one way or the other in that game, and they went the Arkansas Razorbacks way, where they didn't in game two.
Well, you brought it up about how you surprised that these games were such blowouts, and I want to go back to that, because that's something that it just really you don't see very often, and especially in super regional play. If you look right on the other super regionals, I think the only time that you had actual blowouts was when Louisville beat East Carolina. I mean, they blew out East Carolina in both games. It wasn't even close. But to have two really good teams like this in Arkansas and Ole Miss to go just the pendulum just swinging over here and then back over here and then back over this way, you know, it's great for Razorback fans because you know you're going back to Omaha, but it also makes it frustrating because you're like, okay, so what team are we going to see in Omaha? What team are we going to know in the College World Series?
I was just surprised by the margin of victory in all three games based on what had happened in the regular season and the SEC tournament. So, I mean, these teams were most familiar with each other, playing now a total of, what, 8 times?
Mm-hmm.
Three in Fayetteville, 2 in Hoover, now 3 again in the Super Regional. So you knew there was history there. There was something to analyze. This didn't fit the previous analysis. So, and that happens. I'm just surprised two teams this good end up beating each other's brains out, and Arkansas just, they got the final knockout punch.
Yeah, they got the final say in the matter, and they're the ones that got the game that mattered the most.
And hey, if you'd had to play this series in Oxford, I mean, we don't know. Unfortunately, we'll never find out. That we may be on the other end of this deal.
Yeah.
This is why you play your tail off all year long, to have the opportunity to host these kind of games. Because being at home, I believe, and I don't, you know, I just believe, you know, you don't win that game 14-1 yesterday, you probably have a hard time winning that Super Regional being the road team. I think Ole Miss probably felt it was difficult to come to Fayetteville with that crowd, calling the Hogs, being rowdy, giving the extra energy to the Razorbacks, help carry that team. It was just extra juice in there yesterday. And wasn't the biggest crowd of the three, but it was plenty loud enough to help carry this team.
Yeah, the atmosphere was still an electric one that was very engaged into the game and knew exactly what was riding on it, and they came through big time. I mean, they came through in the clutch, and they were showing up. To kudos to all you fans who, you know, took the day off or just skipped work, called in sick, whatever it was, that were able to show up. But yeah. Tommy, me and you were there last night, and we know, I mean, it was an awesome, awesome day across the board.
Phil had texted me last night about some stuff for this week here, you know, around the station, and he made a comment or two, and I just said, I was just glad I was there.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's really how I feel. I really would have been disappointed in hindsight if I'd have missed that moment when I could have went, you know, and I was able to go. So I was glad to be there, you know, and nope. And here's the thing, a 14-1 game, any other time, you're leaving.
Yeah.
Let's beat the traffic. Let's get home for dinner. Let's get back over to Foghorns for happy hour. Let's whatever else.
Yeah.
But not yesterday. The stadium remained, I'd say 80-90% of the stadium was there when the dog pile occurred.
Yeah.
When the team went down the third baseline, down the outfield, high five and fans, came back down the first baseline. I believe it was Plunkett that had the Razorback flag,
mm-hmm.
and was carrying, you know, literally carrying the flag for the team. They were holding the Omaha signs up. And I thought really one of the neatest things that probably went unnoticed by a lot of people, the grounds crew was already at the outfield wall posting the 2019
College World Series
banner or sticker out there that where they have the years up for the different accomplishments. You know, the 2019 College World Series year is already on the outfield fence. I thought that was pretty cool that they were standing ready to get that done.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell that they had really thought about this and thought about what would make it the coolest and most memorable moment that you could have with an occasion like this, because, you know, it's weird to think because they're still playing, but that was the last game in Baum Walker Stadium this year. I mean, that was it.
The other thing is down the stretch is different players came to the plate.
Oh, yeah.
Players that were making their last at bat came to the plate. The crowd knew what they needed to do and came to their feet and celebrated some of these guys that aren't going to be Razorbacks next year. So I thought that was neat to experience, too, as some of these guys came to the plate for the final time in their Razorback careers.
Yep. And, you know, people talk about how great their fans are and stuff, but it is hard when you watch that, and you just to see how engaged Razorback fans are and aware of what's going on in the situation that they're in. I mean, to me, that shows you just how smart of a fan base Arkansas has in baseball.
And Dave talked about that earlier this week. It was earlier in that series leading up about the fans here and really the knowledge that this fan base as a whole has gained over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest, 10 years ago, this wasn't a fan base that really knew the ins and outs of baseball and would have known to do some of these things in mass. We've got some really smart, high IQ baseball fans, but as a whole, baseball was a place where I think our fan, you know, they just want to show up and see home runs.
Yep.
They didn't appreciate, you know, Nick Schmidt going out there years ago and winning a game 2-1 against Vanderbilt on a Friday night.
Him and Jess Todd.
Yeah, didn't understand. Oh, I came to see home runs. And now I think we've evolved a little bit as a fan base, and I think it showed up very well yesterday.
It certainly did. And the fans, I know they're enjoying it. I know the team's enjoying it. I know Dave Van Horn's enjoying it. We're all enjoying it in the fact that Arkansas is going back to Omaha.
But not to throw any water on the campfire, there's plenty of work that's got to get done if you want to make Omaha count, because you go up there with really out. You've got to have someone to be your number two and three starters.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, hopefully these were one-offs. These were not starting pitching performances that will endure. I mean, you've got to get Wicklander and Connor Nolan back on the right way, because if the moment was too big for them in a super regional, it'll be way too large for them in Omaha.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the issue was. Mental, physical, mechanics, I don't know. That's way beyond me. But that's got to get worked out if Arkansas is going to stay in Omaha for a while.
You got less than a week. Saturday, 6 p.m.
Right.
is game one.
But Isaiah Campbell's going to pitch that game.
Yeah, you'll be fine then.
And then if you win that game, you're off till, what, Tuesday?
That's right. And you will play the winner of Michigan and Texas Tech.
Right. If you lose that game, you got to play Monday in an elimination game.
Yep.
So you get more time, more time off, because the days alternate between the brackets. And I'll just tell you now, Omaha is notorious for thunderstorms this time of year. So rain will play a part of the College World Series, because it always seems to be a storyline there.
Hooray. Can't wait.
Well, I mean, you're just in that time of the year up there.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. But you know what? Arkansas is going to be there. And that's really what was the goal, to get back to it. Now you got to go do something with it.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, a light lager brewed with a phenomenal strawberry lemonade flavor that's perfect for bringing the fun to every occasion. The new Natural Light Natterdays.
Touchdown, home!
And he mentioned just how gratifying this season truly has been.
It's just amazing what you can do with a little bit of hard work and a little bit of luck and, you know, a bunch of guys that believe. I mean, it's really gratifying. I mean, this has been an amazing season. I told the team that. This has been I think I might have used that big word, gratifying. One of the most gratifying seasons I've ever had as a coach because we weren't expected to do much. We were picked fourth or fifth in the West, and the West is really good. I didn't feel like it was a slap in the face or, you know, people didn't respect us. I didn't think we'd be preseason ranked in the top 20. I've said this 10 times this year, told the team that at the last team meeting in December, and then we got ranked in every poll. And I thought, well, maybe they're just doing that because we finished pretty good last year. But we backed it up a little bit. Sometimes those writers know more than I give them credit for.
That is some strong words from him, and having some great seasons, this might be the most gratifying season he's ever had.
Yeah, and still wasn't SEC Coach of the Year. I mean, exceeded everyone's expectations is what he's laying out there. Hey, his expectations, the writers' expectations, all these gurus of college baseball, he's exceeded everyone's expectations this year. Dave Van Horn. I mean, that's what happens when you have a Hall of Fame coach. And Arkansas is, for the first time in program history, headed to back-to-back College World Series. Dave Van Horn. I mean, you don't do this with an average coach.
No, not at all. And in fact, when he was mentioning how gratifying of a season it was, it made me start to think, because we talked about this too, and is this Dave Van Horn's best coaching job at Arkansas and all of his great seasons? Is this his best performance as a head coach of the Arkansas Razorback baseball team? And now that we have seen that he's made it back to the College World Series, it's always about, well, just wait till he gets postseason. We'll see how far it goes. That'll be the kicker. Well, he's made it to the College World Series. Still got work to do, but he's made it back. I think it's hard to argue that this isn't his best performance.
This will be his eighth as a head coach. I mean, here's the thing. You've got a coach that knows the things that have worked in preparing his teams, the things that don't work, the way to schedule things. You know, and a lot of your schedule is kind of handed to you at the College World Series by the NCAA and the way it's put together. But he knows what to do and what not to do. And I was reading through his quotes last night as the university emailed some of those out, and I'm watching some stuff on hitthatline.com, and you could hear him talking about and reading about, you know, he just wants to go. He made the quote, I just enjoy going with the team, and basically saying, I'm just kind of along. It's kind of along the line. I'm going along for the ride kind of phrase. And I just get a lot of enjoyment out of watching this team get to enjoy and go to the College World Series.
Yeah, that was going to be the next clip I played. Really interesting stuff here from Dave Van Horn on that.
To be a part of this, to watch these guys celebrate and the joy. It's like I told him at the beginning, the pressure for me is during the season. This is fun for me. I've been to Omaha. I love going to Omaha. But I really, really truly mean it when I want them to get there, and I just kind of want to go with them. And it was an incredible ride, journey, whatever you want to call it, this season. And you know, win or lose, it's going to finish in Omaha, and that's where you want to finish.
I mean, that's just an awesome quote from Coach. Yeah.
Tied for, I believe, 14th now in appearances in the College World Series with the legendary Ron Polk from Mississippi State. So this guy's got a lot more years in front of him. You know, if he continues to desire to coach here at the University of Arkansas, obviously he's going to be facing a guy that's got a ton of experience in the College World Series, but also has not won a national championship, and that's Mike Martin in your first opponent on Saturday night. So you're going to have a 17 and 8. You're going to have 25 combined College World Series between the two head coaches. When you get there Saturday night.
Yeah. And as far as the confidence level goes, when you have Zay Day, which you're going to have against Florida State, I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't feel like they were going to win game one. But, you know, they understand that they have their work cut out for them in the World Series, and they have a lot of players that's gotten there. But you mentioned how, you know, you still got a lot of years left in Dave Van Horn. I mean, Tommy, this team's not stopping. This program's not stopping. It's not like this is the year where you have a bunch of seniors that, you know, this is the play. This is the experience that they're going to have, and this is going to be the season they have to have if they want to win at all, because you have a lot of underclassmen. You have a lot of guys that are going to be recruited highly coming in 2019, especially the 2020 class. I mean, this is not slowing down.
Yeah, the 2020 class right now is ranked, what, second?
Yeah.
Now, we'll see what the Major League Baseball draft does to that. That's going to be the challenge. You do really well recruiting, and then the draft comes along and tears you down. That didn't happen as much this year, obviously. But, yeah, that's going to be the problem, is keeping that class together. But you know what would help keep that together? Go up there and do well in Omaha again. You know, win you a national title, you hope. Have another deep run. And kids watch that on TV, and they're like, I don't want to miss out on that. You know, when's the last time you watched a televised minor league baseball game?
The next one would be my first one.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the thing, that college baseball can add an experience. And I still say, you know, a lot of these kids that, you know, and I know it's hard to turn down high six-figure, seven-figure money some of these kids are going to get offered, but you get an experience at Arkansas. And that's what Dave Van Horn has turned this into. I don't want to say it's Alabama in football, because obviously Arkansas had won the national titles that, like, an Alabama has to back it up. But here's the point where I'm driving with this. You come play three seasons at Arkansas if you're a really good player. Right now, Dave's pretty well showing that you come play here for 3 years, you're probably going to make at least one trip to Omaha. Kind of like going to Alabama. Odds are you come to Alabama, you're going to get to probably play and start on a national championship team, because that's what history says. So he's kind of getting in that pattern here. And right now in this, where he's tightened up those years in between trips to Omaha, it isn't every 4 or 5 years now. It's obviously back-to-back years, and it's getting more frequent since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Be the third time since 2015 he's been to the College World Series.
Yeah, and how many baseball programs do you look around in college and you say that it is far and away better than what Arkansas can give you as a player?
No, there's none that's far and away better.
Right.
None. I mean, there are some that are in the same breath, same conversation,
yeah.
and a lot of those reside in the same conference, and let's face it, within the same division.
Yeah.
But you come to Arkansas, things go right as a team, you're going to have a better than average chance, much better than average chance of getting that experience. And, you know, every player has to make their own decision, but I think Dave's really building more and more of a platform and a reason of, you know, pro baseball will always be there for you. You only get a chance to do this once and experience this, and I think going to Omaha is a big part of the draw, big part of the recruiting pitch that Arkansas has, and the more frequent it becomes and the better you do and the longer you stay there, I think some of those kids say, you know what, bus trips around the Paducah Rookie League circuit can wait, you know,
whatever they're playing. Paducah is.
I don't know, but, you know,
yeah,
minor league ball doesn't have near the glamour of what we're going to be enjoying for what hopefully is a couple-week run here.
Well, just think about how many college baseball players, not just here at Arkansas, but just in general, that are playing at big-time programs that have been drafted and have come back for another year. They use the argument, maybe they want to get drafted a little higher than what they actually ended up getting drafted at. But a lot of them say, I want to come back. I want to win a national championship. I want to get back to the College World Series. It's no longer just a nice little cute thing that you can do while playing college baseball. It's something that people desire. It's something that players desire, especially at big-time programs. And to me, that if that doesn't show you just how important it is to a lot of these guys they want to go pro. Yeah, they want to play in the big leagues. I mean, every baseball player, that's their ultimate dream. But there is definitely some value in playing in college baseball, giving it the years and the effort that you do, and being able to go and experience the run that this team is on and then the possibility of winning a national championship. Yeah. I mean, there's some real true value in that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, to me, adds a, you know, just another part of your recruiting pitch. What's going on here? So, I think it's going to be interesting. I think the way the brackets have fallen, with UCLA being upset, with LSU being knocked out by Florida State, wouldn't you say Arkansas has to be the favorite in that half of the regional? I mean, they were already one of the odds-on favorites going in with UCLA and behind Vanderbilt as the second most favored team. So now you have to be like the most favored team in this half of the bracket. But I know a lot of people are going to have sentiments for Florida State because of Mike Martin's final year. But that doesn't mean that they become a better baseball team because it's his final year. They're obviously playing very inspired right now, though.
Yeah, and by the way, you mentioned being the favorites. You remember last week we talked about the Vegas odds from Caesars Palace. Arkansas and Vanderbilt are now tied.
Well, there you go.
As the favorites. Plus 300 for both those teams. And guess who's right behind them at plus 350? Mississippi State.
That's the team. I'm going to tell you, we talked about this on the way home last time. What did I tell you?
You told me a lot of things, but just remind me what you told me.
That Mississippi State's the team to beat up there.
Yeah.
I don't think Vanderbilt will be in the national championship series. I think it's going to be Mississippi State and hopefully Arkansas. And that, to me, is the team to watch out for. Now, Louisville's playing hot. Now, history says Louisville doesn't get to the championship round based on what they've done. But no one's been to the College World Series more in like the last 5 or 7 years than Louisville.
They've been sneaky good.
They have been very good, but they have not finished it off. Mississippi State's just playing extremely good baseball right now. That's the team I'm kind of expecting to make a lot of noise on that side of the bracket.
Well, let's just be honest about it. If Arkansas is going to make it back to the College World Series final, they have a 75% chance it's going to be against an SEC team.
Well, yeah, there's three of them.
Yeah, because there's three out of the four. So, you know, if you're going to be back there, odds are it's going to be a team that you played this year.
Four of the eight, obviously, up there are Southeastern Conference teams. And I'm surprised with Auburn to a degree, you say?
Oh, yeah. Well, especially the way they just smoked North Carolina in the first inning yesterday.
I guess the two surprises are Auburn being there and LSU not being there.
Yeah, from the SEC. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think Georgia was a little bit surprised, just them not even making the Supers.
Not even getting the Supers, yeah.
But, you know, that's the way it falls sometimes. But either way, Arkansas, you can't say they're an underdog. You can't say they're an underdog, especially when Vegas is coming out and saying that they're tied for being the favorite to win it all.
And how often in our lives will we ever be in a position in one of the major sports that you get in a national championship situation and you're the favorite? I guess maybe in 1995 in the Final Four.
Yeah.
But beyond that, this is, I mean, soak it up, enjoy it.
Yeah, because you weren't the favorite last year.
Because you're not going to be one of the teams that everybody's saying, that's my pick. You know,
yeah.
You're in that situation right now.
Yeah. So if you're feeling the Hogs, go ahead and bet some money on Caesars Palace. Because they have them as the odds-on favorite in the College World Series.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer, with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. Natterdays, fun for every occasion.
They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
Put it out on Twitter and on Facebook at Hit That Line AR. Dealing with the poll question of the day of just now that Arkansas is in the College World Series. You know what the bracket looks like. You know that the teams that are in it. How far does Arkansas go?
Fun day yesterday. Obviously, when you win 14-1, I think it felt good for a lot of the fans yesterday that were at the stadium over the weekend and sat through that game on Sunday where Ole Miss had so much to celebrate because they played well. They pounded Arkansas, but they celebrated every little thing. And then yesterday, Arkansas didn't celebrate till the game was over, but they absolutely throttled Ole Miss. And I think it felt pretty good for a lot of those fans. I know the ones around me were pretty energized about the fact that they felt like they had shut up those fans that were seated behind the first base dugout. And there wasn't a lot of hotty-totties going on by the middle innings.
No, there were not. And in fact, of course, Tommy, you were there actually in the seats where you were sitting.
Right.
I was out in the hog pen,
mm-hmm.
So we had probably two different experiences of the game itself, but still the same outcome nonetheless,
right,
of Arkansas winning. And that poor Thomas Dillard out there in left field for Ole Miss.
That, the leadoff guy?
Man, I'm telling you, they gave it to him out there in the hog pen. He had a rat tail haircut that they made fun of him for. He was a little on the thicker side that they gave him a hard time for. But once he dropped that ball out there in the very beginning of the game, that was all she wrote. And it was just, I know it was satisfying because there was a lot of fans out there in the hog pen that were very happy to see the long faces on Ole Miss fans and very happy to see, or not to see, a bunch of powder blue shirts dogpiling on their stadium and on their field.
Well, it could have went the other way, and it was headed the other direction early in that game when Wicklander just didn't have the location, didn't have it in that game. First few pitches were short and came up in the dirt, and you know, once again, Arkansas starter can't last long for the Razorbacks in this one. Is Wicklander an inning and two thirds yesterday? I thought the game was, you know, obviously not saved but set on the right direction when Scroggins came in and got a strikeout with two men on there in the top of the second. It probably saved at least a couple of runs because Ole Miss had it set up with ducks on the pond there to really do some damage and really probably set that game on a different path.
Yeah. In fact, Dave Van Horn, here's what he had to say about Scroggins being the MVP of the game yesterday.
Man, you could just really feel the momentum switch to us. Cody goes out throwing the ball really well, and then he did it again and again and again. I mean, Cody was the MVP of the game. I mean, without him, we might not win that game. That was an incredible, incredible gutsy outing. Kind of reminded me the way he threw at the beginning of the season when he pitched against USC on the road. You know, first time on the road, we didn't know what we were going to get, how we were going to play, and he settled it down.
I mean, that was a big-time performance, yep, by him.
Well, and then Arkansas comes back after getting out of that jam in the top of the second and plates four runs in the second inning themselves. Trevor Rozell, you know, had the big hit. You know, Opitz had stopped at third. I don't remember that play ahead of that. He was rounding third. You mentioned the play by Dillard where the ball was dropped. That was all set up by one of those hits. And Arkansas on Sunday had one of those games where nothing went their way. I mean, so 50-50 balls down the line always went foul or always went against the Razorbacks. All those borderline calls and pitches never seemed to just fall the right way for Arkansas. Yesterday, different case. There were two shots down the line, one in the second inning that was a rocket hit over third base and came down just inside the foul line and then took a hard duck hook on the turf and got down there. And as you mentioned, and then Dillard kind of picked the ball up awkwardly and then Opitz had stopped at third and then could have scored a run. And you're like, man, remember that right there, because if Arkansas comes up short, you're going to remember that play later on because you're going to have needed that run. Then Zell bats him in and it didn't matter. But that was a huge inning because Arkansas ended up starting a scoring streak where they scored in the four in the second, three in the third, scored a single run again in the fourth and fifth, and then a five spot in the sixth. So, five straight innings, Arkansas put runners across the plate.
Yeah. I mean, it was the difference, especially offensively. I think that them getting the bats going also, like, we knew they were going to score yesterday because we even talked about that in our pregame show, that the bats didn't concern us. Had nothing to do with the bats. It was about how the pitching was going to look, and especially the starting pitching. And the fact that Scroggins came in right after Wicklander was struggling in the get-go and put in the performance he did. And I was even saying it as we were driving home yesterday, Tom. I was like, that guy was the MVP. I mean, yeah, you just felt like when he was out there, you were all right. You had the confidence. You felt settled down. And because you knew the bats were going to get there, you felt good about the defense behind him. He's like, hey, as long as he's going to be out there still throwing these pitches, you still have Costi Shock that was going to come in. You still have Matt Cronin that was still going to come in. You were all good to go.
Three guys there. You just went through them all there. Scroggins, Costi Shock, Cronin. All can throw at 95 or faster. I mean, and I don't know how accurate, how well calibrated that stadium radar gun is, but if it's accurate, those guys were throwing 95, 96. I saw 197.
Yeah, Costi Shock threw a 97 one.
Gets 95 or higher, and that number turns red. There were some red numbers with those last three arms over the last eight innings, I guess. That Arkansas guys got some guys that can throw some gas.
Mm-hmm.
And you put those three guys in there and you keep bringing a fresh arm out every now and then, it's hard to catch the bat up. So
let's talk about Cody Scroggins.
All right.
This is a guy that lost his job to Wicklander earlier in the season. Could have sulked, could have just thrown the season away. But in the biggest game possibly of his career, he comes in, takes over for the guy that took his job as a starter.
He saved the season. He saved their bacon.
Yeah, in one of the more difficult situations when you have two guys on in the second and is able to get out of the inning and then was just throwing, as Phil likes to call, cheese the rest of the way. Yeah. That is like it. Wicklander was terrible out of the pen this season. Scroggins did the opposite of what he did oftentimes and came in and just absolutely delivered.
All right, so let's take it to the next thing because we were already getting these comments and these questions on social media. Should Cody Scroggins be a starter in Omaha? Should Wicklander and or Connor Nolan be considered for not making a start, and you go with Scroggins getting the ball to start of the game? I find that an interesting conversation after what we saw. Can you really go there after one performance and from all three of those guys we just mentioned and make that material a change for this team heading to the College World Series? This isn't like, well, we're going to go down here to Oxford or we're going to Starkville for the weekend to play three. You're going to the freaking College World Series.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was the good point that you made is after one performance. And it's not like Scroggins has been terrible all year, but this one performance, it was a great one. In a big moment, it was a great one. But you don't want to get caught up in the moment and just say, all right, well, based on this one performance, he needs to replace the starters that have been starting all season long, essentially.
Well, and there's a hold, and I, when Tyler's on the show with us, he was a pitcher in high school and had a chance to play pro ball, went the football route, obviously. Other guys we've had on the talk, there's a whole different approach when you know you're the starter and you prepare for a day or two or three, you know you're getting the ball. Mentally, the approach is so much different than, hey, we're in trouble. Go down there and get loose because we're bringing you in 10 minutes. You ain't got time to sit around and worry about it and study it and all this stuff. I mean, yeah, you've done your prep work and all your scouting work, but, when the coach throws you in the game, you just go in the game. You don't have all this time to mentally key yourself up. And sometimes these guys spend so much time thinking about the start, thinking about every situation, thinking about every trap they could get themselves into and how they're going to get out of it. All of these things, they play these games out in their mind, then they get in the game and it just comes unraveled on them.
Mm-hmm.
When you're just kind of thrown into the game, you got time to go through all that exercise.
No.
The different preparation when you come in like Scroggins did yesterday versus what we've seen Connor Nolan and Wicklander have to do, where you knew you were getting the ball.
Well, it's a mindset that if you're a guy like Scroggins, if you got a guy like Scroggins, I mean, it's like you know that if you're coming in, it's going to be because you're in a bad situation more often than not. There's some times where it's fine, but there's going to be times where it's like, all right, yeah, you're coming in, you're going to have to save us.
Mm-hmm.
And, having that mindset, knowing that's more than likely what you're going to have to do if you're called upon is key.
And correct me if I'm wrong, he was injured at one point in the season, right? I think that was a couple months back.
I believe you're right.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a couple guys that have kind of had wear and tear and just had some stuff. Well, but I think he was out for A couple weeks, maybe a little less than that. I'd have to ask Phil about that.
He went 4 1/3. And I don't think when Dave put him in, he was expecting to get 4 1/3. He was hoping to get a couple innings and then go to Kostyshyk, who ended up getting two. So, I mean, it worked out very well. Very fortunate for Arkansas yesterday.
No doubt about it. Let's go to the phone lines. Rick is in Lowell. What's going on, Rick?
Good morning, gentlemen. Appreciate you taking my call.
Of course.
It's what Ty said a while ago is I applaud Coach Van Horn, and there ain't no problem about it. I say I'm a notch above most of the coaches out there on the hill right now. Just because I don't know enough about Coach Morris and I don't know enough about our new basketball coach. Tells you because I can't think of his name right now. But anyway.
It'd be Musselman. Eric Musselman.
There you go. Coach Musselman.
Yeah.
But it goes to show you he's out there every day teaching these guys it takes every single one of us to win this ball game. Yeah? Cody, you didn't make it and you're not going to be the starters, but we need you to come out of that pen and give us everything you got. Because you're right, he could have sat out there and just sucked and quit and said, you know what, I'll worry about next year. Let's not worry about this year. But he's teaching them guys it takes a team. Together, everyone achieves more. And it's not about Cody. It's not about Kostyshyk. It's not about the other 9 players that took the field yesterday. It's about every single one of us. And, again, I think Coach Van Horn should have got a lot more recognition than he did this year because this team performed much better than I think probably 95% of us that call in or listen to your show. And I can't tell you how proud of this team I am right now.
Yeah. Well, appreciate the phone call, Rick, as always. That's the thing is like there's a culture in this baseball program where there is no sulking. You're not allowed to sulk. You're not allowed to feel sorry for yourself. It's like you have to just get better and wait for your opportunity. I think that's a culture that's been created by Dave Van Horn.
I don't know if maybe it's a promo in the baseball broadcast for Bo Mattingly's Hog Pot. Dave was talking, I think it was in one of these promos. He was talking about he didn't talk to the team every day, and he does that on purpose because when he does talk, it carries more weight and it means more. And you think, well, Dave's probably a guy that maybe addresses the team and has these words of wisdom and these great perils every day and offers them up to the team. And, you know, and his approach is, I don't want to talk a lot, but when I do talk, I want people to listen. And I think he's got their full attention right now. And obviously the resume is backing up why you should be listening to this team.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer.
Yeah, we need Jake Taylor from... Get that for us there, Ty. You don't even know who I'm talking about.
Do you know Jake Taylor?
Oh, I know. I know that is a movie reference.
Right.
I just can't think of what it is.
He was the catcher in Major League.
Major League. Yeah.
Man, there's only one thing to do.
We can't play that on the air, can we, Tommy?
Well, we may have to clean it up a little. We may have to get it.
Can they drop the F-bomb in it?
Well, okay. Don't put that part in.
Yeah, you just put the real meat of the comment in the quote, not the adjective.
There's only one thing to do.
And I
win the whole bleeping thing.
I thought the manager said that. Was it Jake Taylor?
No, that was Jake.
The veteran.
Lou Brown said, you know, well, we'll just give them all one big bleep burger. You know?
Yeah. Because after he let them know that, hey, they're trying to sabotage us. They all want you to lose. And if you don't lose, you'll be traded.
Right.
So that's why they only have one
Me?
Thing left to do.
I'm for wasting the media's time.
Yeah. Exactly.
I still think the best part of that movie is when Dorn goes up to Vaughn at the end and gets punished. And he goes strike after he sleeps with his wife. Vaughn thinks he's about to get chopped, and he's like, strike this out.
There's not really many
quotes
we
got all
play,
the cussing references in this
yeah
morning,
but say we can't really play
that's
many
what
quotes
the Hogs need to do is go win the whole bleeping thing.
Yes, you know? Exactly. And you know that point was made that they need to do that
was my only point.
Let's go to the phone lines. Alex is in Boonville. What's going on, Alex?
Oh, not much. So I have two quick questions and I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
One is, do you pitch Isaiah the first game? And two, if you do, what is the rotation? How do you go about the rotation for the rest of the week so you can make sure you have them if you get it into the finals?
Yeah. All right. Well, appreciate the phone call,
good
Alex.
Good questions. I don't see any way around making any decision other than Isaiah Campbell pitches game 1
Oh, yeah.
Saturday night against Florida State.
Yep, it's A-Day.
That's to me, the easiest of all strategies. He's the most rested. He's the most trusted. And it's just like a regional. For those that might not be familiar with the College World Series format, you're in two four-team brackets. Those brackets are just like the regional Arkansas played to start postseason play when you had Central Connecticut State and TCU and up here, that same thing. So it's paramount, once again, that you win the first two games, because then somebody's kind of got to come back and beat you twice. It just becomes double elimination within your own four-team bracket. So, again, you go and you win the first two games, and somebody's got to come for you. You're in the, as you learned last week, you're in the catbird seat. So
yes, as we Tommy was able to let us know the definition of that. It's because
so you can't do anything other than start Isaiah Campbell, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, you get more rest. There's more time in between games because the calendar up there, the schedule alternates between those two brackets. So you play Saturday. Well, nobody, you don't have to come back again and play Sunday. You're going to have off till Monday. So, you know, the brackets alternate up there. So the good thing is you may end up with being able to, depending on how it falls and how many elimination games you have to go through, you could potentially, because it's a 14-day deal. Would three starts be too many to think you could get out of Campbell? Or is two the limit?
Oh, man. I don't know if two's the limit. You know, maybe he does some heroic.
Two starts and three appearances? I don't know.
What I was about to say. Maybe three appearances, but not two starts
That's an interesting conversation right there. And then, as I said earlier in the show, weather always seems to mess things up in Omaha.
Did last year.
In June. So you may get an extra day. Arkansas got the benefit, you know, of an extra day of rest, and that's going to change pitching strategy. So it'll be interesting. But the thing is, Alex, you get more rest and more in between games, so it does change the way you go about your pitching strategies.
It's funny you talk about the weather, Tommy. As soon as you said that earlier, I looked it up. Four of the next 9 days, the latter part, not the first five, but the last 4 days on the weather app on your iPhone, has the thundercloud sign. So there's a good chance there could be some inclement weather down there.
Yeah, and it's like Tommy said, it's done it every single year. And in a lot of cases, it can benefit a team like Arkansas, right, who's wanting to try to get as much as they can out of Isaiah Campbell.
But you think about the stretch you're there. It's two full weeks and a few days. If you went the whole distance, I think two starts is the most you're going to get out of a pitcher.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean you get two starts that a game three all on the line for the national championship. Everybody's available at that point. That mean that Campbell couldn't come back and get you a few batters or an inning or whatever, but I think two starts is probably the most you're going to see out of anyone on this staff.
Yeah, and I could see.
And you may need a fourth starter. Maybe Scroggins falls into a starting role. I don't know how Matt Hobbs and Dave Van Horn are going to formulate this, but they're certainly going to have to work through some scheduling and as you said, work around some weather. And the last thing you want is to start a game and get three or four innings in and then lose a guy.
Yeah.
You know, because the weather stops a game.
Yeah. But if there was a guarantee that we could put on is that Isaiah Campbell is going to start game one against Florida State.
That's the only thing I can sit here and say I know.
Yes. Yeah, that you can put money on and guarantee that he's going to be the starter.
That's the one bit of strategy that Dave doesn't have to wring his hands over.
That's right. And I know that what assuming can do to all of us, but assuming that Arkansas beats Florida State because Isaiah Campbell has been phenomenal. He's been phenomenal in postseason play. He's only lost one game this year as a starter. So just going off of what's on paper, you feel like Arkansas will win. That's where the questions start to roll in of, all right, so do you go with Connor Nolan in game two against Texas Tech or Michigan? Do you go with Patrick McLander? Game two is going to be the big one.
And I guess, and again, you know, I would suppose you would go about making that decision based on bullpen works and how those guys look in preparing and rebounding to come back, because they will have had plenty of rest. And it's not like their arms got overtaxed this weekend. So, I mean, it's not like Connor Nolan and Wicklander are having to report this morning for extra icing on their shoulders. You know, so.
And if they are, there's something really wrong with that.
We need to get to the hyperbaric chamber there and get that shoulder rested up. I mean, you know, Woodwick later face. I mean, I don't know who he faced, but I mean, pitches did he throw yesterday? 40, you know, so, you know, they're not worn out.
No, not by any stretch. So you're going to have
40 pitchers in an inning of 2/3 face right. 10 batters. So
you're going to have a rested and healthy squad that you're bringing up to Omaha. I mean, that's going to be key. And it just comes down to
got to be effective.
Right.
I mean, that's if Arkansas is going to play for a national title, let's forget winning, just playing for. Winning your 14 bracket, playing for a national title. Mm-hmm. Let's just end it there.
Okay.
It's all going to boil down to whether or not Wicklander and Nolan have good starts and can pitch into the fifth inning. I'm not asking them to go the distance.
No.
I'm not asking them to go 7 2/3. You know, I'm not asking to give me 2 runs on 4 hits.
Halfway through the game.
It's all you want is, where the bullpen isn't going to get stretched out.
Yeah. No, that's the key in it all. Because, you know, what we saw over the past 2 games with those 2 guys, it ended badly for at least both pitchers until Cody Scroggins comes in and changes the narrative and changes everything about it. But, you know, if you can't, like, I just don't have this trust right now that in game 2, say if Arkansas does beat Florida State, then in game 2, Texas Tech, Michigan, whoever it ends up being, that you're going to win that one. That you have confidence in your starting pitching right now besides Isaiah Campbell. I think Scroggins has shown some stuff, and you have some guys in relief and the closer, of course, with Cronin that you feel confident in. Like, there's some guys here and there, but those starters.
If there's going to be a reason you look back and say Arkansas didn't go as far as they could have potentially advanced in the College World Series, it will likely be because we're having a conversation about the pitching.
Yeah.
And if it's anything like this past weekend, we have, other than Campbell, we just don't have the confidence in the starting pitching at this point. Now, I don't know if yesterday gave you a better boost about bullpen. It's kind of funny. We worry about bullpen, not starting pitching, and it turned out to be the bullpen that saved the day. You know? So, I mean, who knows? You know, I know this. If Arkansas is hitting the ball and that offensive machine is rolling, they're going to be, not that you can be horrible on the mound, but you can be less than stellar and win some baseball games when you score double, when you put up some crooked numbers, have some big innings, and you score 10 or more runs. You know, you don't have to be perfect on the mound to get away with, you can get away with a few things when your team's scoring 10 runs.
Yeah, when the offense has it rolling. Which they're capable of, but we've also seen times where they haven't shown up.
When they face lefties.
Yeah.
Good lefties.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that the teams that they will potentially be facing here in the College World Series probably has film on them. Uh-huh. And probably understands and knows that they struggle with lefties.
They may see a lefty in every game.
They might. They might. So everybody's
saving their lefty for Arkansas. Because you know what? All these other coaches understand Arkansas is going to be the hardest out.
Yep.
In that half of the bracket, you think Michigan and you think Florida State and you think Texas Tech don't know that? They know Arkansas is going to be the hardest out in that half. That Arkansas is the team to beat of those four. I mean, that's all you need to focus on right now is those three teams. Forget about Mississippi State and Auburn, Vanderbilt, Louisville. Now, they don't even concern you for 10 or more days. Mm-hmm.
Essentially, this is a regional where you're the one seed.
Exactly.
And you're going to have to just focus on those teams and just play the games that are in front of you. And
you got to figure out how to beat those three teams and not let any of those teams beat you twice.
Yeah.
In any combination of.
I'm feeling good about them, man.
I like the draw.
I do too.
The bracket's set up well. But, I mean, you can't help but be a little bit nervous about starting pitching what happened this last 3 days.
But I tell you what. If they won game 1 and then won game 2
John, that's the catbird seat.
The catbird seat. I was going to say that, but you beat me to it.
They're in the catbird seat.
They're in the catbird seat. Still don't know what that means, but it sounds good, so I'm going to keep using it because Tommy said it one time.
That up.
Yeah.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.